Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
This is Tim Reedy. I'm sitting in for Father Matt Malone, and I'm here with Carrie Weber, and of course with John Carr, our guest and Washington columnist, and we're talking about U.S. public life, and we invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. Now, John, I was wondering whether we could talk about something that we covered last week and again in the news this week, which was the March for Life. Now, this is, I believe, the 42nd anniversary of the March for Life, and we had Cardinal O'Malley giving this very moving homily. What was your assessment? Anything new this year?
Well, the March for Life is, I think, one of the best days in Washington. Not everybody thinks so, but it really doesn't get any attention. I mean, for 40 years, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have come to not to ask for more money for their Social Security, but to defend the most vulnerable people in the country. What I love about the march is how young it is. Maybe it's I'm just getting old, but it seems younger and younger.
I think you're right.
And the march itself is really affirmative. The rally, frankly, used to be sort of a letdown because it was a lot of angry politicians making partisan points, and it didn't reflect the vitality and the youth and the hope and the joy of the crowd. And the people running the march seem to have turned a corner on that. There were women who are running pro-life pregnancy centers, which is a cause close to my own heart because my mother started one. There were women who had an abortion and regretted it and talked about the pain they feel. The best part of that whole weekend for me is the Mass for Life. It's almost impossible to fill the shrine of the Immaculate Conception. I mean, I've tried. It's jammed, and it's jammed with young people and lots of priests, lots of bishops, lots of cardinals. But the most impressive part are these young people. And Cardinal O'Malley set a wonderful tone. He talked about the myths that women are more pro-choice. In fact, men are. That young people are more supportive of abortion. They're not. But what he did was he put it all together. He used the Pope's image of this throwaway society. He used the mantra of the civil rights movement, we shall overcome. And part of what's powerful is Cardinal O'Malley is what he talks. I mean, he really cares for the poor. I knew him as a young priest in Washington. But I loved the line. He said, we need to be the field hospital, quoting Pope Francis, not Judge Judy. We need to reach out to women in need. And what he did was connected our commitment to all human life in a way that was an affirmative statement. It's what we are for, not just what we're against. So it's terrible that people don't cover it like they should, but it's just a great thing to be a part of. And frankly, it was better this year than lots of years.
That's wonderful. And it sounds like it brings together some of the issues we were talking about at the top of the hour, in that it connects all of those life issues as life issues. And it says we need policies that support women choosing to have children and making it possible for them to support a family.
Yeah, yes, and that makes the ideologues of left and right really uncomfortable.
Right.
There's sort of a rampant individualism on both sides. On the left, it's sort of lifestyle individualism, which makes choice the ultimate value. And on the right, it's sort of economic individualism, which says you're on your own. What the Pope is saying, frankly, what Jesus called us to, is a family that cares for one another. And some people get mad when you make connections between issues, think you're diluting the message. My view is it fits together. Pope Francis said we shouldn't be obsessed with one or two issues. But there's no obsession but no retreat. He could not be more clear about the life and dignity of the unborn and immigrants, and the old, and the poorest of the poor.
Right. It makes so much sense. You talked earlier about this idea of lifting up lay people and lay voices in the church and the search and the work for justice. How do you think the church can kind of go about doing that a little bit more?
One thing is we have to do a better job of sharing the message. People can't share what they don't own or know. Secondly, we're doing something at Georgetown where we're bringing together young people in public life, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, and helping them remember that their faith is an asset, not only for their own lives, but for public life. And so we do sessions where people talk about what the church teaches, but also what that means for people who work on Capitol Hill or in the White House or in a policy organizations. We have a group within that for young Latino leaders. People come to Washington often with a sense of idealism and service and making a difference. And it's a place that pulls people into the partisan wars really quickly. And what we're trying to do is remind them why they came and what they bring as young Catholics. And we've had a tremendous response.
Do you have a sense that people are willing and ready to talk about the hard issues? I mean, to give some context, we quoted in our last issue Father Larry Snyder, outgoing president of Catholic Charities, saying, when we're talking about levels of poverty in this country, we're roughly at the same area, the same level as when the war on poverty began. So this is a serious issue, yet there seems to be some allergy to talking in the terms of poverty. Why do you think that is?
Well, one is a lack of leadership. We in the past have had presidents of both parties who said this is not right and we can do better. Some of it is a sense that we really can't do much. And I disagree, frankly. I think there are tax policies. I think there are questions on the safety net and how we help people who can't work or can't find a job. One of the most important things we ought to be talking about is work. Lots of people offer proposals, but the best way out of poverty is to have a job that pays decent wages and decent benefits. And while unemployment is down, we still got lots of people, especially young people, who don't have work, can't find work. And I was saying on the way over, there is nothing natural about getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and going to work. It's learned behavior. And if you don't learn that at a young age, we have a problem. Robert Putnam, the author of Bowling Alone, a great book on American society, is coming out with a new book. And he says we're losing our kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, but also white working class kids, where family, economic, and educational pressures are going to take the gap we now have between the rich and the poor and make it much worse. My view is the part we ought to work on that gap, is lifting up the poor. And maybe with Pope Francis, with some serious work by leaders on both the left and the right, we could see if we can't find a way to make that a priority. Everyone says, you know, we all agree on the principles. It's just what we ought to do about it that we differ.
Right. Well, one of the things that you mentioned a few minutes ago that I really appreciated was helping young people to see faith as an asset. And I think a lot of times it's really hard to talk in terms of faith sometimes because you don't know how other people, especially other young people, might react. And you might see it more as a liability than as an asset. But really, when there, it's part of a community. There's a support there, and there are values there, and there are people to support you in those values.
Well, it gives you a different way of looking at the world. Right. You pick up America, or you look on the web. Our faith tells us we look at the world from the bottom up. How does this touch the weak and the poor? You look at it for how it touches family life, from the outside in. Those are not the priorities of Washington. They're frankly not our priorities a lot, but they give us a different way of thinking. And with Pope Francis, we have such a great example. He is a walking, talking parable. The most vivid image, I was in the cab on the way over this morning, and it was mostly snow, what didn't come, what did, who did what. And in the middle of that was a story about Pope Francis in the Philippines, who, without advanced planning, went to this orphanage for street kids. And it was not what he said. It's who he was and what he did. And he's providing an example for the rest of us that caring about others, living your faith, is a source of joy. It's not a burden. It's not a set of rules. It's a way of living. And frankly, it's a joyful way of living.
And it seems like another opportunity here, something that Cardinal O'Malley referenced, the civil rights movement. A lot of focus on that now with the movie Selma, which I know Carrie has seen. I wonder if that's another opportunity to talk about religious leaders and the impact they can have on the public policy discussions.
Well, it's really important to remember that Dr. King was a minister of the gospel. I had the great opportunity to work for Coretta Scott King, his widow. And faith was so much a part of the King family. And the people who went to Selma, priests, sisters, Catholic lay people, rabbis. I brought my family to Selma, and I was just stunned. I should have known. For my kids, who were in their 20s and 30s, they did not believe that this was 50 years ago, that somebody blew up a church and killed four little girls. People set dogs on people who were simply trying to vote. So we've come a ways, but we have a long way to go. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to remember where we were as we try and move forward. These are tough times and tough issues. This is a great time to be a Catholic because we have, I think, the ideas that the world needs. It seems to me there's sort of two kinds of leadership. One is if you think we've lost, if you think the culture's overwhelmed us, then you sort of hunker down and you preserve and protect what you got. And maybe you throw a thunderbolt out every once in a while. If you think we're right on life, on family, on immigration, on lifting up the poor, then you engage and persuade. And Pope Francis is an engage and persuade leader. We should be engaged in persuade leaders. This is the moment for us to take what we have and share it because we're in a lot of trouble. And I think what we have can help us get out of that trouble.
How would you suggest sort of engaging in sharing in a very positive way? And because I think people tend to either get defensive, as you said, or then sort of lash out or not really be sure what to say.
Well, my worst temptation is cynicism, that nothing matters, I can't do anything. And, I mean, that is a sin. Our faith is not a head-for-the-hills sort of faith. We have to get involved. So I think people have to get involved in the party of their choice and work to defend life and dignity. They can get involved in the works of the church, caring for the poor, caring for immigrants, the right to life movement. The Pope is going to challenge us to care for God's creation in new ways. We ought to be at the heart of the world. The images in the gospel I love are salt, light, and leaven. I cook every once in a while. not great. And salt adds flavor, and leaven makes things rise, and light, you know, we wait in the winter for the light to come. That's who we have to be in public life. And you know what? It is enriching. I ran for the legislature when I was 24 years old. I lost. There are worse things than standing up for what you believe and losing an election. Everybody ought to run for something. Everybody ought to stand up for what they believe and find a candidate they care about. There are lots of community organizations. Frankly, everybody ought to subscribe to America, where you get some reflection on these issues with a different point of view.
Well, I think that's so important these days because I think a lot of people fear failure. There's such a fear of failure. And I think that's especially prominent for a lot of young people. There's a lot of studies that, you know, the millennial generation, of which I am one, but have been sort of protected from failure in a sense by their parents. And this idea of going out there because doing what you believe and maybe not making the progress you had hoped, but moving forward in some sense is a really positive one for people to hear.
When I was at the Bishops Conference, we did some studies in this, and we interviewed people in the parishes, and there were two things they worried about. One was that it wouldn't make any difference, and the second, they didn't want to be seen as judgmental.
Mm.
Well, we can make a difference. We've kept alive the cause of the unborn for 50 years, after 40-some years. And when it seemed like everybody was against us, young people are more pro-life than ever. My daughter said to me at one point, says, "Dad, I don't know if we're ever going to make abortion illegal, but I think we can make it unthinkable." We know more about the humanity of the unborn child than we ever have. And this is a world where our values can make a difference. It seems to me that by following the sort of individualism and it's business as usual sort of approach, we've got ourselves in pretty deep trouble. So even in Washington, there's a sense that our biggest problems are not just economic or political or military. They're moral. They're ethical. They're even spiritual. And so I think we have an opportunity, a moment that Pope Francis has had a lot to do. When the U.S. Congress says, you know, the one person on earth we ought to hear from is Pope Francis, we probably ought to listen too.
That makes a lot of sense indeed. Yeah, I think he's such a unifying character these days. And it's going to be really interesting to see what he has to say, hopefully, when he is in front of our politicians. So thank you so much, John. Thank you for being on the show today. We really appreciate your time.
Glad to be a part of the show. Honored to be a part of America, which has done such good work for so long.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.